Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 143 in the series entitled The Cosmic Brain Part 1, The Central Nervous System of the Divine Presence. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York during the winter of 5762.
I'd like to wish Mr. Singer, one of the pillars of our Tanya class from the day it began, a heartfelt Mazel Tov in honor of your 71st birthday, right? Mazel Tov. Tonight's class is dedicated for our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land. In the 52nd chapter of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe defines Torah and mitzvahs, which embody the will and the wisdom of Hashem. He defines them as the cosmic brain containing the central nervous system of the body of the entire world. If we are to view the universe, the entire universe, as one body, the Torah and the mitzvahs is its brain. And there are many fascinating implications that stem from this idea of the Alter Rebbe. Some we discussed at the end of last week's class. One major implication of what the Alter Rebbe says is the idea, the well-known idea, which the Medrash Rabbah right in the beginning of Bereishis states, that Torah is the blueprint of the universe, which means just as an architect forms a blueprint, prepares a blueprint, and then based on that model, he constructs the home or the mansion. So Hashem, the Medrash says, looked into Torah, and based on Torah, He created and designed and formed the entire world. Just like there is not one detail, not one nuance in a human body that you can't discover in the brain, so the same is true that there's nothing, if Torah and mitzvahs are the brain of the universe, there's nothing in the world that can't be discovered in Torah. There's the classical anecdote about a Jew who once heard a rabbi saying this, that in Torah you can find the whole world. So he comes to the rabbi afterwards and he says, "Yes, rabbi, listen, I need to build a home. You're going to tell me that I can build a home based on the guidelines of Torah? I have to hire an architect, an engineer, a construction worker, a company, and so forth. The Torah can't help me build a home." The rabbi says, "No, I will show you, I will demonstrate to you how it can." And he opens up a Masechta Sukkah, And he turns the pages, a particular page, where the Gemara describes construction of a home. And he learns with him the piece of Gemara, and he says, follow these and these instructions down to the last detail. Follow every word of the Gemara, every idea that's displayed here in the Gemara, and you will build up a lovely home. Okay? The Jew listens to the rabbi's advice and he leaves. Comes back 6 months later, walks into the rabbi's office, he says, Lomari Misani, why do you deceive me? Asma Fadre Takap. You don't know what you're talking about. I followed the instructions of the Gemara. I built up this home. And when I finished, the entire thing fell apart as though it never existed. It's not a home now, it's a churva. So the Rav looks at him and he says, yeah, that's the question of Taisvas. That's what's bothering Taisvas there on the Gemara. But I guess you have to know how to study a brain. You have to know how to understand the brain. Just as to understand the human brain is not the easiest thing, to understand the brain of Torah, we need spiritual neuroscientists who know how to see in Torah the counterpart or the source or the blueprint for everything in the world. There is a famous story that the Seder HaDeiros brings. It's an extraordinary story about the Ramban. Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, Nachmanides, who lived in Spain in the 13th century, had a student. The Seder HaDeiros calls him Rabbi Avner. Rabbi Avner was a great scholar and a brilliant mind, and he studied for many years by the Ramban, who was one of the greatest Jewish personalities of his day and age, and still remains one of the great Jewish personalities in history. Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman. It was a difficult time, and this Rabbi Avner converted to Christianity. And he abandoned Yiddishkeit completely, and being the talent that he was, he rose up quite high in the ranks of Christian officials and men of authority and power, and he became a very wealthy and successful human being. One year on Yom Kippur, he had the Ramban summoned to him. And the Ramban had no choice, but in the position of power that he was as a Christian, the Ramban was compelled to come. When the Ramban arrived into this Jew's, into this Meshumad, into this convert's room, he took a pig, a swine, he killed it, he cooked it, and he ate it Yom Kippur afternoon in front of the Ramban. When he finishes his pork meal, he turns to his old Rebbe and he says, Nu Rebbe, wieviel Issurei Karis habe ich euch gegeben? How many sins have I violated by doing what I have done? Yom Kippur, pork, killing it. How many? Yeah, Yom Kippur. So the Ramban says five. So the Ramban says four. So he says no, five. Ramban says four. And they start having a whole debate in the Gemara. He says five. He committed more sins. And the Ramban says four. And he's going back and forth. And it really was very humiliating. So at a certain point, they say that the Ramban looked at him. And he gazed at him. And he gave him such a profound look that even he, the person who he was, experienced a tremble and he remained quiet. He still had a sense of awe for the Ramban. So the Ramban looked at him and he remained quiet. He was humbled a little bit. So Ramban turns to him and says, why did you convert? Why did you leave? Why did you abandon your Jewishness? So he says, Rebbe, because you once said something in a lecture that was so ludicrous and so absurd that it proved to me that Yiddishkeit is false. What? You once said, it was Parshas Hazinu, and you said that in the portion of Hazinu is contained all of the mitzvahs, all of history, every single creature and every existence and every episode and phenomenon that will transpire or transpires throughout the history of the world. And it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. So the Ramban says, I still stand by what I say. Ask me anything and I'll show you how it's included in Parshas Hazinu. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that Ramban still adheres to this idea which he thought was totally insane. So he turns, he says, Ramban, yeah, where am I? Alluded to in Parshas Hazinu. My life, my history. So the Ramban said, wait a moment. And this is a story. He went over to a corner and he began to meditate and daven. And a few moments later, he came back to him and he quoted the pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Amarti af ehem ashbisa me'enesh zichra. In the rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people during his last day on earth, he quotes Hashem as saying, Amarti, I have thought, or I have said, that af ehem, I will exterminate them. Ashbisa me'enesh zichra, I will make their memory vanish from among mankind. So the Rabban said like this, take the third letter in each of these five words and you'll see your name. Af Ehem, the third letter is Aleph, Fe Aleph is Aleph. Ashbisa, the third letter is Vase, is Aleph Vase. Me Enosh, so the third letter is Nun. So it's Aleph Vase Nun. And Zichram, is the third letter is Reish. So Zayin Chafresh, so you have Avner. So Amarti Afayim, I said, I thought that I will I was preparing to exterminate them. Avner. That's what the Seder HaDeira says. I was prepared to exterminate them, to make their memory vanish, Ashbisa Menesh Zichram, from the memory of from among mankind. This touched him to his core. And the story goes that he began trembling and he broke out in tears. I guess it was also Yom Kippur, so that also helped. And he turns to the Ramban, he says, Rebbe, can my soul still be rectified? So the Ramban said, you just heard what the Pasuk says about you. So the Seder HaDeiros writes, and he writes, Kibalti, he heard this story, it's also brought in Shalshalos HaKabbalah, another famous Jewish history book, that this Rebbe Avner left everything and he went onto a ship and he sailed out. He didn't take a captain. He didn't take any instruments that allow one to maneuver the ship. And he just let himself wander away and be carried away by the wind, gone with the wind. And nobody ever heard of this Rebbe Avner again, but he died a Baal Teshuva. He died a returnee. So he implemented the Pasuk, Amarti af ehem ashbisa menesh zichra. He's remembered. And the Rebbe once told a story at a Fabrengen in 1982, Hazinu, and he brought out an interesting thing that in all the books where this story is quoted, it's quoted in the name of Kamelech, which is a Kabbalah Sefer, but a different version. They don't call him Avner, they call him Rebbe Avner. Even when they write that he killed a swine on Yom Kippur, they call him Rebbe Avner. And when the Ramban told him how he's indicated in Parshas Hazinu before he did Shuva, he quoted the five words, Amarti Afeya Mashbisa Menesh Zichem, and the third letter of Amarti is Reish, Reb Avner. So it's similar to what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah about Reb Elazar ben Derdaya. It was a Rosh Merusha, and he died about Shuva, the last moment of his life. So Bacher Rebbe and says that not only can you acquire the future world in a moment, Rabbi, the Baskel called him Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. From heaven they called him Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya. But the Rebbe pointed out that he's called Rebbe Avner even before. Because of the power of tshuva is so deep and it works retroactively. Since it works retroactively, he's defined as Rebbe Avner even while he's eating a swine in front of the Ramban on Yom Kippur. In any case, this is, I guess, the Ramban looked in Torah in Parshas Hazinu and he saw this particular Meshumad who lives in Spain in the 1200s. I think they tell about one of the great Gedali Yisrael. I think there's a few versions who it is. was once Parshas Bereishis. And he said in a shir, in a class, that everything is to be found in Torah. So there was a Jew, a scoffer, he says, I'm making a Pidyon HaBen this week. I have to redeem my oldest son this week. Where is it in Parshas Bereishis? Where is it in the Parsha? So he responded and he says, Bereishis, Ben Rishon Acharei Shloishim Yoyim Tivda. The acronym of the word Bereish is the first son after 30 days you should redeem. I once read in the name of Ascham Sefer, he was once sitting and he said the same idea. So somebody asked, they were talking about the Rambam. It was a sheet on the Rambam. So somebody asked Ascham Sefer, where's the Rambam in Chumash? Where's the Rambam in Torah? He said, where did the Rambam live? The man said, in Egypt. He said, you have to look in Parshas of Egypt, Parshas of Eira. Revois Moifsai Be'eretz Mitzrayim is the acronym of Rambam. I will increase my wonders in the land of Egypt. He says that was the Rambam. Okay, in any case, this is one of the implications, one of the many myriads of implications of what Alter Rebbe states here in the beginning of 52 about the role that Torah and mitzvahs play within the cosmos, similar to the role the brain plays in the body.
So, the letter sequences,
that's a whole other issue. You have it in Rabbeinu Bechai, in the beginning of Bereishis, you have it.
He also does that?
Yeah. Rabbeinu Bechai, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, has a biblical code that pertains to the first section of Chumash. Look it up. It's very interesting. I think that's the first place where it's found.
First Rabbeinu Bechai in Sefer Bereishis?
Not the first. In the first parsha. Yeah. He said that in the Beis of Bereishis, right? The Beis of Bereishis, he once showed Alter Rebbe a map of America.
Yeah.
So Alter Rebbe pointed out a particular characteristic, a particular part of the map, and he said there's a mistake here. There's an error here. And later, in Russia, they got an updated version, and they realized that this was fixed. They asked Alter Rebbe, how do you know America? Grew up in a little town called Lyozhna. Traveled to Mizrich. I mean, it wasn't today. You get on a plane, you travel. How do you know America? So he said, in the Beis of Bereishis, you have the picture of the entire world. The entire globe of the earth, one can recognize in the Beis of Bereishis.
Yeah,
that's what he said. So he says, I saw in the Beis of Bereishis that the map is not, this is not America. Somebody once told a story in front of the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So he heard the story, he responded, he said, the ikir is, as nachtem was mekum to America, someone can tell us nicht haben. The main thing is that after you come to America, you shouldn't make the same error. I think what he meant was something profound. But not to detach, I think what he meant is not to detach America when you come to America from the Beis of Bereishis. It should remain consistent with Alter Rebbe's Beis of Bereishis. But in any case, similar idea. I think the Shpala Zayde and Reb Nachman of Breslov, had a very profound disputation.
He was actually saving Reb Nachman from harsher stuff.
And so they say that one of the Breslov and Chassidim came to the Shpala Zayde. And it was before Sukkot. So the Shpala Zayde told him, he was talking to him about Reb Nachman. He said, you can go tell Reb Nachman that he's planning now a trip to the Holy Land. He doesn't have to embark on it because it's going to fail. He's not going to arrive to the Holy Land. So he could stay here. He said, how do you know? So he said, he saw on his Esrik. If you look well into the Esrik, you could see the picture of the globe. And he said, I see that Reb Nachman is not going to make it to the Holy Land. But that's already the Esrig, which is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is also the brain. The Rebbe says a mitzvah is also a brain.
Everything's holographic. So then everything is everything else in some sense.
Well, here it's more. You're talking about the brain.
Yeah. No, but the Esrig might have to do with the holographic version.
No, that's what I'm saying. Esrig is a mitzvah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm adding it's a mitzvah. Okay, now let's continue. So what's the bottom line here? What is the point Alter Rebbe is trying to make in our discussion? Just as the brain is the seat of the soul, which means... This is another time. Okay. Just as the brain is the seat of the soul, which means the spiritual electricity of the body, if you wish, the spiritual current of the body is expressed, it dwells, it lives in the brain, and from the brain it's transmitted and passed on to all of the limbs and organs of the remainder of the body. The essence of the soul, once again, the Alter Rebbe said, that does not express itself in the brain, and in fact it doesn't have a relationship with the brain any less or any more than it has a relationship with the human pinky. The pristine essence of the soul is found in both of them, in the brain and in the pinky, identically, and it's not felt nor experienced in any of them identically. It's found in both of them in an identical fashion, and it's not experienced by both of them in an identical fashion. The brain doesn't experience the essence of the soul any more than the pinky does, or the toe does, because this is such a type of reality that is not picked up by the brain or by any part of the body. What is expressed in the brain is one particular component of the soul, albeit a magical component, a tremendous component, a component to which we owe our life, our physical life. Nonetheless, it is one particular way in which one can articulate and define a soul. The soul as the provider of life and function for the body. And it's very fascinating how the Alter Rebbe uses this as a metaphor to understand the cosmic soul. So we have to understand the human soul as a metaphor for the cosmic soul, which is Hashem. That in the cosmic brain, just as in the human brain, what is the cosmic brain? The divine faculties of Ratzin and Chachma Bina Das, the divine faculties of will and cognition, which are expressed and enclosed in Torah and Mitzvahs, this is the seat of the universal soul, of the universal soul, just as the brain is the seat of the human soul, which means divinity, as it is articulated in terms of spiritual electricity of the universe, divinity, as it's articulated as the spiritual blueprint of the world, this dimension of godliness, as the power plant of the universe, this dimension is fully expressed in the divine brain, in the divine faculties of Chachma Bina Das. And through these faculties, through the cosmic brain, it's transmitted and it's passed on to every creature, soul, existence of the entire universe and all of the universes from the highest to the lowest, just as the brain transmits the power and vitality of the soul to the remainder of the body. Again, the Ein Sof itself, just as the essence of the soul, Hashem himself is present in the entire body, which means in the entire universe and in all of the universes, in an identical fashion from the highest to the lowest, and it's not expressed or felt in all of the universes in an identical fashion. It's found everywhere identically, and it's not felt everywhere identically, because it's such a type of reality that has not been articulated in terms that allow it to be experienced by any existence, even the most lofty and sublime of existences. Therefore, it's found everywhere and expressed nowhere. However, the Ein Sof, the infinite one, condenses itself. It curtails itself. And it articulates. Hashem allows himself, the Ein Sof, to be articulated in a form that can be deciphered, perceived, comprehended, experienced by the cosmic body, by the universe. This dimension of godliness, as it becomes articulated in a form that can be perceived by the world, which means the dimension of godliness which serves as the spiritual electricity that will invigorate the worlds, that will give the world's design, content, function, character. That element of godliness dwells and is revealed in the divine brain in Ratzin and Chachma Bina Das. This dimension of godliness, as we shall see, is called Shechina. Every time you see the word Shechina, which we translate as a divine presence or the divine indwelling, the Alter Rebbe will explain is referring to this element of godliness similar to the dimension of the soul that is expressed in the brain. Not the essence of the soul as it is in its pristine nature, but the soul as it is appreciated as being the electricity of the body. This dimension of godliness, as godliness is articulated in a form that can be deciphered and perceived by the world, this is called Shechina. Shechina means that which dwells. It denotes the element of godliness that can be revealed to the body, to the created and defined universe.
The Shechina,
you mean? Okay. Now, again, we're not going to go back here, but just when I say this, I just want to emphasize it. I mean, it can't be emphasized enough. When we say that Shechina is the element of godliness that the universe relates to, it doesn't mean that the God is divisible. And this is one element of his, and there is another element. It means that Hashem allows himself to be articulated in particular patterns so that we should be able to relate to him. Okay, now we'll continue inside. This is going to be the whole point. Torah mitzvah is the brain. You'll see inside. This is your question. What is the relationship of Shechina and Torah mitzvah? Is the discussion here. This is the theme of chapter 52. Let's see inside. We are on page 144, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. You want to know if Eirish HaMashiach is connected with Eir HaShechina? Eirish HaMashiach is not referring to Eir HaShechina, no. Yeah. Shechina is the soul, the divine soul that invigorates the cosmic body. The human being is a miniature universe. We are a microcosm of the macrocosm. The soul that fills the body is present in the brain and is transmitted to the entire body. That's called the Shechina. The Ein Sof is present everywhere. The Ein Sof itself. In a different way. The Shechina is found in mitzvahs, found in sins in a different way. Yeah. Everything has to have Shechina. It can't live without Shechina. V'gilui. Close to the beginning of the chapter, the line that begins with the word Moichin, in the middle of the page, Tafayim Beza Mitbeiz, V'heinein Amalubashim Mateidah Mitzvisev, V'gilui. Second to the last word on the line. V'gilui Klolos Hamshachazu. Zagdal Terebbe. The manifestation of this general flow of life. Which general flow of life? The general flow of divine life that will impart life to everything, to every existence. This general flow of life. This is the source of the vitality which the worlds receive. Call echad bepratus, each one in particular, raka ara, mispashetis umeidim imakirza, receiving only a diffused glow that shines forth from this power plant, from this general source. The general stream of divine vitality, which dwells in the cosmic brain, in the divine intelligence, in the divine moichin, is the source for life from which all the worlds and everything contained within them receive their vitality, each one only a ray, a diffused glow from this source. k'dimyon oira mispashet me'ashemesh al derech mashal, in a similar manner to the light that radiates from the sun, by way of example, v'koyches evri ha'guf me'hamoyach ha'nisker le'el, or in a similar manner to the faculties of the organs of the body. Which derive their energy and vitality from the brain, as discussed above in the previous chapter. The lung, or the heart, or the kidney, are obviously connected to the brain every single moment. And through the nerve cells and the blood, the brain guides them, instructs them, imparts the soul's life to them, imparts to them and transmits to them a particular function of the soul that these organs express, whether it's cleansing blood or it's pumping blood or whatever the function may be. Furthermore, the Alter Rebbe brought out, their identity and function already exists in the brain, albeit in a nebulous form, in a much more abstract way. So the Alter Rebbe says it, the energy that the brain imparts to all of the organs, the energy of the soul that the brain grants to them, is like the ray of a sun, of the sun that comes from the sun and extends, let's say, into your home. We don't receive the essence of the sun itself. We don't receive the substance of the sun. We receive a reflection of it, a glow of it, a ray of it, not it. In fact, if the sphere of the sun itself would enter into our bedroom, our lives and our existence would cease. So he says the same is true concerning the body from the brain, and the same is true concerning the worlds from the general source of power that they receive from above, from Hashem. Umakirzan, now this source, which source? What is this source? The divine energy, as it's condensed and becomes articulated as a source of vitality for the universe, this source, as Hashem allows Himself to be articulated and compressed and defined as a source of vitality for the world, which is not the Ein Sof itself. So this Makir, Hu HaNikra Almadiz Galya, this is called in Kabbalah, Almadiz Galya, the universe of manifestation. Now here it's easy to get confused with another Almadiz Galya. There's an Almadiz Galya that he mentioned in the previous chapter, which is referring to a particular world. There's a particular world or set of worlds which are known as Olam HaZgluyim, the revealed worlds, in contrast to different types of worlds which are known as Olam HaZgluyim or Almadiz Galya, concealed worlds. Here he's referring to the source of all of the worlds, Olam HaZgluyim as well as Olam HaZgluyim, the source of all of the worlds. The entire source from which everybody receives energy is called Almadiz Galya, and from this source, which is called the world of manifestation, everybody receives their vitality. This is one name for this source, Almadiz Galya. Now, in an interesting style, which is not so common in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is going to give this source another three names. In addition to being called Almadiz Galya, it's also called Umatru Nisa. It's called Matru Nisa, which is the Aramaic word for a queen. This source is called the queen. Matron. Huh?
Matron in English.
The matron. Yeah. What's the connection to the queen? In Kabbalah, the Matru Nisa, the queen, plays a major role. The queen is the one who actualizes and brings forth the king to the people, as we shall soon see. So the second name for it is Matrunis. He will soon explain. Third name is Ve'ima Tata, the nether mother. So first it's a queen, now it becomes a mother. The nether mother, or the lower mother, in contrast to Ima Ilah, which is the higher mother, which in Kabbalistic terminology, the higher mother is Bina, the faculty of Bina, comprehension. The lower mother is the attribute of Malchus, which is associated with femininity, Malchus means kingship or confidence or royalty. So this is Ima Tata, is another name for this divine source of vitality of the, for the worlds. The fourth name is Shechina. It's also called Shechina. Milashin v'shechanti b'seich. From the scriptural phrase in Parashas Truma, and I will dwell among them. Shechina means the root, the Hebrew root, the root of the Hebrew word Shechina means to dwell, to be revealed. So therefore, this mucker, which dwells in the worlds, and is experienced in the worlds, and it invigorates, and animates, and encloses itself in the world, is called Shechina. Soon he's going to give this source a fifth name, Malchus, later in the chapter, but that's not relevant right now. And now he explains the four names. Al-Shem. Why is it called Alma Dizgalia, the world of manifestation? Shemakurza, for this source, who reishes his galus eirin sof. This is the beginning of the revelation of the light of the Ein Sof. Since this is the beginning of the revelation of the light of Ein Sof, it itself is defined as Alma Dizgalia, as the revealed reality. No, it doesn't say Adam Kadmon. It's talking about Shechina, Imitata, Matronis, and Alma Dizgalia. Ashemam Shech, and he continues, Ashemam Shech, Omeir La'ilum is Bebchinis Gilui. This extends to, and it illuminates the worlds in a revealed manner. And here, with this line, he's explaining why it's called Matronissa, why it's called the queen. The first line, Hashem Shemakir Zeoreishis is Galusay and suffers an explanation for Alma Dizgalia. Now he's explaining why it's called a queen, because this source extends to and it illuminates the worlds in a revealed manner, not in a concealed manner, but in a revealed manner. And this is the role of the Matronissa in Kabbalah. The Kabbalah sees the queen as the one who has the function of bringing the king to the people. She actualizes and brings forth the king to the rest of the people. That's the role of the queen. In fact, the Zohar has an expression, I think Vayikra Dafei, the Zohar says that a king without a queen, laviyu melech, he's not a king. His kingship is worthless. He totally can't be expressed, can't be articulated, he's useless. Laviyu melech. The king without the queen, without his feminine counterpart, is of no value. When the editor of the encyclopedia of the Talmudic encyclopedia was one of the great Gaonim of our century, Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin. So in 1952, his wife passed away. So there's a letter I saw in the volumes of letters of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He writes a letter to him. And after expressing his words of consolation, he writes a story that he heard from Hasidim. The Bashaz, the Tzemach Tzedek, lost his wife. The Tzemach Tzedek, the Alter Rebbe's grandson's wife, passed away. Her name was Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka. She passed away 4 years before the Tzemach Tzedek. 5 years before the Tzemach Tzedek. And Tofresh Chafalef. Tofresh Chafalef would be 1861. So the Tzemach Tzedek, and Tzemach Tzedek was a person who at that time, they estimate he had a half a million chassidim in Russia. Tzemach Tzedek was broken. He was absolutely devastated. He was very, very sad and broken. And he would walk around the house and he would tell his children what the Zohar says as Malach, Malka, Beli Matrinusa, Matrin... What's the Lashon? Malka b'li matronis, b'li matronisa lav ihu melech. The king without the queen is garnished, is not the king. In the chess game, it's taka brought. In the chess game, that's true. The king remains in one place, usually, unless pikuach nefesh mamish, if checkmate is about to happen, even the king moves around. But usually it's the queen who is the agent, the queen who flies around and soars and traverses the board, and she runs the show for the king. So this is Matronissa. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, without the Matronissa, the melech remains, you know, it's a situation of checkmate. So the children, the Tzemach Tzedek got a lot of children. They were very, very devastated. What happened to the Tzemach Tzedek? So one of the children turned to his father and he says, Tata, father, from you, I heard from your own mouth so many times. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, quoting the Pasuk of Shlema Melech, Re'ei Chayim im Isha, find life with a woman, Zog the Gemara, Zu Torah, this is Torah. Find life with a woman, this is Torah. So when the Tzemach Tzedek heard that, he said, Nechamtani b'ni nechamtani. My son, you have comforted me, you have comforted me. The Rebbe wrote this to Rav Zevin. Now, I think based on what Alter Rebbe is soon going to explain, I think we'll have a deeper understanding into the story. So, this is the Matronissa. The source is called Alma Dizgalia. From it, it extends light to the world in a revealed fashion. Now he explains why it's called a mother. From this source, there extends to each individual thing, world or creature, the particular light and vitality suitable for it. And for this reason, it's called the nether mother or imutata. Being that it's the mother and the source of the particular form or vitality of each and every creature. And finally, he explains, and this source dwells and is clothed in them, in the worlds and in their respective creatures, thereby animating them. Since it dwells and animates and is enclosed in every world and creature, it's called Shechina, which means indwelling. Now, it's a little difficult to understand. I mean, there seems to be a redundancy here. Why is the Alter Rebbe bringing four names? So these four names are not obviously just four redundant names for the same thing. In the Shechina itself, there are four levels. When one reflects upon the Alter Rebbe's words here, in depth, in the Shechina itself, there are four levels. Which means, in the divine energy that relates to the world, this divine energy itself has generally four stages in which it becomes more and more articulated and more defined, making it that much more accessible to create, design, and invigorate the recipient worlds. In each level, the divine energy develops and becomes more concrete and more defined, so it can be received in a revealed fashion in the vessels of the worlds. Briefly, if we focus in the Alter Rebbe's words, the first level is Alma Dizgalia. What does Alma Dizgalia mean? It's a revealed world. What is he trying to say? It's a revealed world. The Ein Sof is not Alma Dizgalia, no. The Ein Sof itself, what does it mean when we say God is concealed or revealed? The Alma Dizgalia means he becomes revealed. What does it mean he becomes revealed? He takes off the mask. It's not what it means. It means as follows. Alma Dizgalia means Hashem allows himself to be articulated in a way that lends itself to be experienced by the worlds. He assumes definable terms. Hashem obscures his essence. He condenses his innate reality and he articulates himself in a form that is somewhat definable and thus can be perceived by his existence. If not for this articulation, which means the Ein Sof on its own, in its natural state, may be present in all the worlds, but nobody would appreciate it. You can't call it his galus. It's not revealed. What does revealed mean? It could be revealed to him, but it's not revealed to us. It's meaningless for the worlds. His galus revelation means that he allows himself to assume and to be defined in qualities that can be communicated and felt. Now this requires a major tzimtzum, a major act of concealment, of obscuring, of curtailing. He has to condense himself and assume properties that we should be able to relate to. Yeah, This is Alma Dizgalia. This is Alma Dizgalia. He assumes a quality to which we can apply the term and the concept is galus. This could be felt, this could be experienced. But we're still talking about him. We're still talking about the energy. We're still talking about divinity being articulated in a particular form. Then you have the next level is Matir Nissa. What's Matir Nissa? Matir Nissa is the queen whose function is to actualize the king and to bring the king to the people. Then you have Imutata, another mother. Or in our own language, we would say a Yiddish mama or a Getlich mama. What's the difference between a queen and a mother? It's not hard to figure out the difference between a queen and a mother. You'll see it in the Alter Rebbe's words. There's a big difference. The queen's function and her primary concern is that the king, that the king's message, the king's sovereignty should be communicated to the people. The primary concern of a mother is that the children should have what they need. Look in Alter Rebbe's words. When he's describing Matir Nissa, Asher Mam Shechameel Olam is Bebchinas Gilui. The Matir Nissa's concern is, of course, worlds. She's interested in expressing the Shechina to the worlds. The king should be communicated to the worlds. Then he says, "Umimakrzen nimshech lechol echad ha'er v'chayis prati harayiloi." In imatata, godliness is already processed in a new way, based on what the kinderlach, based on what the children need. In the first level of Alma Dizgalia, you're talking about the Shechina vis-a-vis itself. In Matir Nissa, you're talking about the Shechina vis-a-vis the worlds. But as the king is being communicated to the worlds, in Imatata is already a mother like God. A mother like God is already much more concerned with what the worlds need, not that I have to come to the worlds. And finally, the Shechina. Shechina is actual indwelling. That a mother is concerned with the needs, and then there is that level where their needs are actualized and they're given to the children, and that's Shechina. Shechina is the actual indwelling where the divine energy is communicated and it creates and it sustains and it designs and it relates to the universe. Yeah. Lower. More is galus means lower. That's what his galus means. Yeah. That's why he says Reishis on Alma Dizgalia. He's not just saying four names. Generally, it's all part of Shechina. But in that itself, there are four levels. Now, we have to assume, obviously, perhaps, I don't know, obviously, perhaps, in the metaphor, these four also exist. Which means there are four stages in which the soul is expressed in the brain, which parallels to the Shechina. There is the first element in which the soul assumes properties where you can call it Alma Dizgalia. The soul defines itself in a fashion where it can be picked up by the brain and by the body, unlike the essence of the soul which remains transcendental. Then there is the soul as a queen, the soul as a mother, and the soul as a Shechina. Now, here the Alter Rebbe, till now the Alter Rebbe was talking about how this light is the source of the worlds and the creatures, the light that they will experience and perceive. He now goes on to explain how it's also the source of Jewish souls. And he gives it another two names. Another two names now happen, are introduced, which make it six names. V'lachei nikra eim habonim al derech mashal. And therefore, this level is figuratively called the mother of children. Not just imatata, but ema bonum, the mother of its children. And it's also called the Knesset Yisrael, which means the community of Israel. Why? Shemimakar, because from this source, Netzlu neshama is the atzilus, v'nivru neshama is the bria v'chuli. Because from this source, the souls of Atzilus have emerged, they have emanated, and the souls of Bria have been created, and so forth. So this source is not only the source of all of the world, it's also the source of all of the souls. And therefore it's called Eim HaBonim, and it's also called Knesset Yisrael. What does Knesset Yisrael mean? The community of Israel. Because in this source, all of the souls converge into a single community and organism. Just as all of the limbs of the body converge as one within the brain, there is no fragmentation there. Knesset Yisrael is that place where the Jews are seen as one community, because this is the source that encompasses all the souls. So somebody who looks at Jews and he's in touch with Knesset Yisrael, he sees the Jewish people as one organism in perfect symmetry and coherency. It's interesting, we mentioned many times that everything that's in Kabbalah and Chassidus is expressed also in Gemara and Talmud. Gemara has an expression many times, the opinion of Reb Shimon, and it has a lot of halachic implications concerning Shabbos and other things. Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim hem. All Jews are the children of kings, sons of kings. It's relevant, for example, in Masechta Shabbos, Kofta Zayin, what you're allowed to go out with. The Mishnah says that there's certain bells that princes would wear. So according to one opinion, the Mishnah says as a halacha, that a Jew is allowed to walk out with them, even if he's a poor, poverty-stricken individual.